Hey guys, coming up on today's Sports Spectrum show, Gary Gilmore from Coastal Carolina. He's their head baseball coach, 2016 national champion, 2016 national coach of the year, currently 25th all time in coaching wins, 1,335, 18 NCAA Division I regional appearances, including one this past season in 2023. He's been coaching at Coastal Carolina since 1996. Gary Gilmore is also battling cancer. Gary Gilmore is also entering his final season as Coastal Carolina's head baseball coach. And this was one of the more impactful conversations that I've had personally all year long on this show. Gary Gilmore has great stories. Wait till you hear the stories that he shares from the 2016 College World Series run. Just mind-blowing stories. But also his cancer battle and what that's been like walking through this new season of life that he's had the last 3 years since his diagnosis in 2020, and continuing to see baseball as a great platform to impact lives and ultimately to be the best ambassador for Christ that he can be. I love this conversation. I want to be buddies with Gary Gilmore. I think you will too after you hear his story here on Sports Spectrum. First, I want to remind you about our friends at Water Mission. You can go to watermission.org/join the team. watermission.org/join the team. Water Mission is a nonprofit Christian engineering ministry whose desire, whose goal is to bring clean water, safe water, and sanitation to those in need around the world. It's a great ministry to get yourself involved with, to simply sow into a ministry that's just looking to provide clean water. Right? Clean water, safe sanitation, things you and I take for granted, but knowing that Water Mission is doing it with the gospel in mind. That's their goal, is to preach the gospel. They're just using clean water to do that, to help people who need it. We're just using sports as a way to do that. That's why we love what Water Mission is all about. You can sow into their ministry right now. Go check out watermission.org/join the team, and I promise you, you won't regret sowing into this amazing ministry. watermission.org/join the team. And we're also presented today by our friends at Operation Christmas Child. They've been reaching millions of children each year with the good news of Jesus Christ simply by using shoebox gifts. Since 1993, 30 years, more than 209 million children in over 170 countries and territories have received a shoebox gift. Anyone can pack a shoebox and help send joy to a child in need with our friends at Operation Christmas Child. You can pack a shoebox with fun toys, school supplies, personal care items, bring it to a drop-off location during the National Collection Week. Now that's coming up November 13th through the 20th, so you still have time. You can even build a shoebox online. We do it with our family. It's a lot of fun. I think you guys will love participating with Operation Christmas Child. And think about this, the good news of Jesus Christ is shared alongside your gift, and each child is invited to join a discipleship program. So learn how to pack a shoebox, view gift suggestions, and find your nearest drop-off location by visiting samaritanspurse.org/OCC. samaritanspurse.org/OCC with Operation Christmas Child. Coach Gary Gilmore from Coastal Carolina. Hi, Coach. How are you?
Jason, I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. It's great to have you here. I'm looking forward to having our conversation, talking Jesus, talking baseball. It's going to be great. I have to tell you first how this interview came about. Peyton Eales, who was a player with your program this past season, his father emailed me, and he said the journey that his son had taken and seeing how God brought Peyton to you and to your program, he said that impacted him and his son's life in such a powerful way. And I thought, let's just start there. There's got to be a really neat story in the sense of how Peyton came to your program. And he's saying that you impacted him. I'm guessing he impacted you as well.
Oh, man, it's, you know, we both, I think, you know, fed off of each other for an entire year. That kid brought energy to me just watching him play and go about his work every day. And I know between myself and my staff, he took a lot away, not from us as well, not just as a player playing baseball, but as a faith-based young man and the things that we do. I mean, I know that he was a huge inspiration in that area to all of our guys on our team. And I was very, very blessed that having been a part of an incredible devotional group. I belong to a group of guys. It's a baseball coaches and scouts devotional. Mike Lynch, out of Atlanta, and a pastor there. He and Kevin Burrell, basically, and a couple other guys kind of founded this thing 2 or 3 years ago. And they asked me, to become a part of it, a couple of years ago. And I tell you what, that's probably been one of the most impactful decisions I've ever made to be a part of that. I've learned so much about Jesus and life and my faith. And so many of those guys have been down the same paths I've been down. So we all relate to one another so well, and how our faith has not only developed but been challenged over the years. And and how we're able, in the positions we're in now, to really be able to mentor and use the positions we're in to allow kids to at least be exposed to Christianity. I think that's one of the greatest things that I have the ability to be a part of, that when I retire at the end of the year, I'm trying to figure out in my mind, I know God's not finished with me. How do I continue to be a part of kids' lives and impact them and share my faith with them, just so that, for those that, are believers, like a Peyton Eales, it's easy to be a part of this. It's so much of watching him and what we do, exposing kids who have never really been exposed to it. It's incredible to me. Shoot, Jason's kind of getting away a teeny bit from the what we were talking about, but I meet with our guys, in the fall. I have different groups meet with me every week, and I eat lunch with them up on the breezeway, looking out over the stadium. And one of the things I always ask them, I say, at the end of practice, guys, I call it a life lesson, so that no one can, in a public school, whatever, call me out, whatever, but they're all faith-based. And I said, you guys that are on the fence in as far as believing or have never been exposed, are I always tell you, you don't have to stay. I hope you'll stay, because the lessons they're not just about, you can learn the same lesson without believing in Christ, so to speak. But if you believe in them, then here's a biblical verse to back up what I'm trying to teach you. And it's so amazing to me. I've never had one kid in the whole time I've been doing it go, I don't want a part of this. Every one of them that haven't been exposed, got all of them across the board, they go, keep doing it, coach. I don't know if it's for me, but I want to learn more. I don't know enough. I've never been involved in a church and this and that. And for me, that's such a super win for me. Just I get to actually do things like that in the position I'm in. And that's kind of how, that group of people have impacted me so much. And when Peyton decided he was not going back to Cedarville, Kevin Burrell and Mike Lynch, they actually, the ones that called me about him, they're going, hey man, you gotta, this is a coastal guy. This guy reeks coastal baseball. He is the dirtiest guy on the field when the game's over. He plays like Pete Rose. It's he's that guy. And that's how he ultimately ended up being here. And I thank the Lord that he touched my life for a year, and I had an opportunity to touch his. And he'll be a young man that, not that you don't do everyone, but he'll be one that I follow and stay in close touch with, until the good Lord takes me, because that young man is an incredibly special human being.
So I didn't know the Mike Lynch, Kevin Burrell connection, which I should have because I'm on that call on Mondays as well, which you probably knew. So seeing there's what, 70, I think even as we record this, the last time we were on there, the last one, it was close to 74 coaches and scouts and a few of the non-coaches and scouts like myself as well. I get so encouraged by being on that call and just listening to the teachings of Mike, of course, who's incredible. But Kevin and some of the other guys that are there who are scouts, kind of veterans, but strong in their faith that are teaching me something every week. I don't know. For you, Coach, I can imagine how important that is, but it fills my cup too and gets the week started the way it needs to. That's got to be so important, I would imagine, from a coaching perspective, because you empty your cup so much into others to be able to have that cup filled.
Oh, it's incredible. Cause I, you know, at times I go through stretches where just life is so crazy that I missed the 9 o'clock on Monday, but I've gotten to a point now, my wife loves to listen to Mike. So if I miss Monday, her and I watch it together during the week. And it's so funny. She'll tell me, I can't believe baseball coaches and scouts have been able to put this together. Yeah. This is so incredible. She goes, you know, she said, I get the most out of these devotionals of anything I've ever been a part of. My wife's extremely faith-based. And she goes, I love listening to it. She goes, the questions guys ask, the interjection of different levels of scout and coach and non-coach or whatever, and the sharing of stuff, it's like being in a 75 person small group, so to speak. It's such a cool thing because, you know, you go to church, you don't really get to ask questions. You know, you don't get the input from, well, you know I'm thinking this, but you know, I'm still at the infancy, and no matter how much I've been a faith-based person of knowing all the scriptures and being able to recite them. And, you know, I feel like on there, well, there's a lot of guys way smarter than me on this call, but yet I'm not afraid to speak up. I'm not afraid to answer, but you go to church and it's different. You know, you don't get the interjection and interaction between people is not there. It's such a rewarding piece to be able to hear other people because, man, that's exactly what I was thinking. You know, I'm glad he beat me to the question, you know, and it's just so cool.
Yeah, I wish those things were 3 hours, to be honest with you, because 30 minutes is so hard to get everything in. But I know why they do that, because coaches and scouts and everybody else's time is so precious. But I like, you know, it makes you think that, you know, okay, I got to acclimate myself to this the rest of the week. What does this look like? Yeah. And you can go back and watch it, like you said. It's got to be pretty neat. You've been coaching a long time. I guess it never gets old to see how the Lord can use a game like baseball to impact people's lives, for the kingdom. And it's gotta be something that you've seen over these long years that you've been coaching. And it must never get old.
Oh, it doesn't. And, you know, I mean, I really believe our game so much mirror image is what real life is about. You know, I mean, the greatest thing that I've seen in our society in the last years, last probably 15 years, is in this generation of player. The kids are unbelievably good kids.
Yeah.
But, you know, baseball, like life, you fail. You fail at things. We have, as parents and people in our country, we have gotten to a point where we're terrified to let our children fail and figure out how to find that source of comfort and answers. You know, we get away from the Bible, we get away from faith, and where do you go when life doesn't work out exactly right? You know, I mean, you know, it's funny. The other day we had five of my returning players were moving into a house off campus, and you know, we don't really have anything to do with that. When they get to a certain level in their academic career here, they're basically forced to move off campus.
Yeah.
Well, they had their house or whatever. Well, they, you know, one of the kids goes by there and has his mom and dad with them. And, you know, the landlord was in the process of one lease ending and another one beginning, and he has a whole crew of people in there trying to fix this and that and whatever. And the mother was all upset that, number one, the house wasn't ready, this, that. So, make a long story short, two of the dads call. I'm in Houston doing my cancer treatment stuff, and my poor little ops guy here, he gets worn out by the two dads. I'm like, so he calls me and he goes, "What do I do?" I said, "You don't do anything." I said, "I'll take care of this." So I just sent the five kids a text, and I told them, I said, "Guys, hey, listen, part of life is growing up, and part of that is you taking responsibility for these things. You're old enough to live off campus. You're old enough to make all these great decisions. Then make them, right? Pick the phone up. Be a responsible person. Talk to the landlord. If you can't get in there for a few days, then he needs to, reimburse you X amount of your rent." And I said, "These are all things you can handle. Your mom and dad don't need to call us who are not involved here to solve your problems."
Right. This is real life.
My mother,
it's real life.
But yeah, my mom and dad would have rolled over, they'd roll over in their grave. They would never had to do stuff like that for me,
Yeah.
But it all goes, all of it goes back to, we've just lost so much of my way of life that I grew up being a part of, and how parenting was, how going to church was, how involved church was in our school and our programs. I am so blessed, Jason. I'm at a place where I get to do what I want to do. There are coaches out there that are terrified to sit there and go, "Okay, guys, we're gonna have a devotional right here." I've talked to a lot of them, and again, there was a time in my life where I was a little bit afraid of that. I wasn't confident enough that I carried enough weight that, all of them on the other side of campus would back me up,
Yeah.
And so, I'm not going to say I don't care, but it's a mission of mine. I mean, we're going to be it. I'm going to expose them to it. I feel like that's as much a calling as teaching them how to hit and pitch and bunt and steal bases and all of that. I want that on my plate. I want it to be something 5-10 years down the road, they bump into me, call me, whatever. "Thank you, coach. I appreciate what you did and all of your talks at the end of practice about life, and gave me an opportunity to make a choice." And like you told us every single time you talked to us, as soon as you see your child born, you're going to realize there's a bigger, higher power than the ones right here, right now. And I said, it's amazing how many of them have called me over the years and told me that. Go, until you hit that moment, some of it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. But the second I see that little boy or little girl, and I hold them in my arms, I realize all the things that you were telling me and the things that I need to be really good at to be a great dad.
Yeah, the most important things, as they say.
Yeah.
You mentioned treatment. With respect, I don't know this whole story. Is it, would that be okay to ask you about treatments and what you're battling right now?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, it was about the time I joined this group of coaches and scouts devotional back in 2020, right when COVID just started to hit. It was January 19th. I had this massive pain in my left side, and I slept through the night somehow or other. It was killing me. And I self-diagnosed myself over the internet, so like I think we all do.
Yeah.
And so I was guessing I had a kidney stone. And so the urologist I go to, his two kids come to our camp. And so I called him on Sunday night, and I said, "Hey, man, I said, I'm guessing this is what it is." I described everything. He said, "There's probably a really good high probability that's what it is." So I went to see him, and I met him there at 7:30. His staff wasn't there, so he took an X-ray of me, and I don't know if it was his machinery or him not knowing how to do it by himself, but the picture wasn't good enough to figure out where the kidney stone was. So he sent me straight from there to the hospital, and I had a CT scan.
Sure.
And I was very fortunate. I got in there and out of there. So I'm back in his office, and I sat there for 2 hours in the office, and all of a sudden he finally comes walking in the door. And I know you've had this happen to you in your life where you're waiting to get an answer for something and no one needs to say a word. You can look at their face and go, uh-oh, something ain't good.
100%. Yeah.
And he walks in and he goes, "Coach, the really good news is," he goes, "that kidney stone is right at the edge of your bladder." He goes, "You're going to probably pass it here in the near future." And he said, you don't probably won't have a ton of discomfort with it." He said, I won't have to go in there and get it." I said, "Okay." He said, "But," he said, "Coach," he said, "I've been on the phone for 2 hours calling different people." He said, "We found a major mass off of your pancreas." And he goes, "I've got the people at the Coastal Cancer Center waiting on you right now. You and your wife need to get in the car and go straight there." And that's how I found out I had had cancer, got misdiagnosed. Not because anybody was trying to, it just was. I have a very rare cancer. It's called pancreatic neuroendocrine cancer. It's a hormonal cancer. I have a tumor that grew off the end of my pancreas that's about the size of my hand, that's sitting up against my pancreas and spleen, and it metastasized into my liver. So I have those two things going on. And I went through 14 months of chemo. Didn't miss hardly any work. Was very blessed. If there's a blessing with COVID, I was blessed that they called the baseball season off and I didn't have to miss the whole thing.
There you go.
So
That's right.
there was silver lining in COVID for me.
Yes.
But I have been on since that point in time. I have been on a I do a once a month maintenance shot. I go every month here locally to get that shot, and then every 90 days I go to a place in Houston called MD Anderson's, the top cancer center in the country.
Yeah.
And I go there and they check me out. I just came back this past week. I came back on Saturday. All my tumors for almost 3 years now have been completely stable, which, I'm kind of one of those guys that's very blessed and a poster child for the treatment that's there. That treatment only became available about 4 years ago in this country.
Wow.
And
Yeah.
so I'm very, very blessed that it works exponentially well on my type of cancer. I can never, my cancer is inoperable where it's at and the level it's at. So basically mine, it's kind of like, kind of compare it to something. It's someone that's a high level diabetic being able to use insulin and diet and different things and controlling it. Basically, this lanreotide shot and my diet and the different things that I do, holding this thing in check as long as we can keep it in check before we go to something else, And I mean, when I started, his goal was to keep me on my feet for 10 years. If he could keep me on my feet for 10 years, he said he believed that we would have a cure for this type of cancer.
Wow.
So I'm this January will be 4. So
Yeah.
God's been good to me. I have missed very few days of work. I've been able to, in all honesty, what's crazy, some of it I feel like that I feel personally better physically than I did going up to it, because as crazy as this may sound, this thing could have started growing in me 10 to 15 years ago.
Wow.
Because I have, my cancer is like a lot of them. They're like different stages and levels of how fast it progresses. Thank God mine is on the way to the lower end as far as slowness goes, as far as it going, whereas you've seen famous people have my cancer that have it on the other extreme and don't make it a year. So
Right.
I mean, it's I've been very blessed. And I mean, I selfishly believe God has allowed me to do that, to that his work for me is not done yet. That there are things in life he wants me to do before I finish my time here, and that group of people that we meet devotionally, whatever, the prayers that have come out of that group for me and stuff, especially in the beginning when it was new and very scary. You know, I mean, it was amazing the amount of texts and phone calls and people reaching out to me. And still, I mean, you know, Mike, Kevin Burrell, you know, Marlon, you know, I mean, I get texts from those guys at least once a month. How you doing, man? Constantly have you in my prayers. And being a person like that, you don't realize how that lifts you up in life, knowing that people love you and care for you, that they take the time. I know, it's different than years ago, but you know, knowing that there's that support system out there of people who care, and that, you know, I'm a huge believer in the power of prayer. I believe that's why I'm still here.
Yeah, that's powerful. Thank you for sharing all that, Coach. Just one quick follow-up off that. And you kind of alluded to this, but I have to imagine when you face a diagnosis like that, you accept it and you can wallow in self-pity or you can fight it and battle it. And then also there's a trust factor with the Lord. How has your relationship with God changed or evolved in these last 3 years, you and him, just personally, because I have to imagine there's a lot of different stages, right? There's probably a little bit of anger at some level, like, really? Is this happening to me? But you have a strong faith that you've had a long time. How has that evolved in trusting in God's timing and God's love for you during all this?
I mean, to be honest, I think I'm more about just, you know, when I pray, it's like, you know, God, whatever your will is, you know, I get it. You know, I mean, I'm not going to sit here, you know, and waste 1 minute of my time in self-pity. You know, I believe you allowed me to have this disease and the notoriety of having it for a reason. And, you know, just as I haven't ever taken 1 ounce of credit for us winning a national championship, I'm one of these people that believes that, you know, you dream big, and if you believe big enough, that the bigger the dream, the bigger opportunity God has to be put on a pedestal, that, you know, you allowed us to win a World Series because of that. Because, I mean, you knew 1,000% of what we accomplished as a group of people, that the honor and glory was going to go to you. And I feel like that about this cancer, that I feel like I'm going to be one of these people that he's going to let beat this cancer over a lifetime. And at every opportunity in my life, I get to share my story, I get to share my faith, is another opportunity to bring someone to our side.
Right. Point him to Jesus. Point him to Jesus. You did mention the championship, and of course, on my notes, you got it. When you win a national championship, you have to ask about it. But I think my question would be, what's your favorite memory from that year? And it might be that moment, right? When everybody's throwing the gloves out and everybody's kind of storming the field and hugging each other. But what's your favorite memory? Because that was such a fun run to watch because it's Coastal Carolina. It's not the big schools here that
It's
takes
not
the
the
title.
schools that always win it. It's a
Correct. Yeah, it's not Mississippi or Florida State. Yes.
it's like my generation watching our hockey team beat the Russians in the Miracle.
Bingo.
Yeah,
Yes.
that is like, that just doesn't happen. You know, I mean, I have to tell you two stories. All
Please.
right, one is in LSU. All right, we win the first game decisively. We hit, I think, five or six home runs, and we won the game relatively easy. Game two, we're up 3-2. We're the home team that game. We're up 3-2, going to the ninth inning. My All-American second baseman busted up his knee. I tried to squeeze another run in the bottom of the eighth, and he got hurt at home plate. And so I have to put a young man in at second base who had played a little bit for us, but had gone for like 40 games and not gotten in a game. And that's all we had.
Yeah.
So I put him in a game. Well, you can only imagine the first pitch of the first at bat. It's a three hop routine ground ball that my 9-year-old grandson right now can catch and throw to first base. And he clanks it and hits, he kicks it, moves it, and then throws it away. The guy's safe and all heck breaks loose. Make long story short, somehow we get out of a bases loaded, one out, 3-1 count on a very good hitter. We get out of the inning with no more runs. We come in at the bottom half of the inning, and if you ever watch the replay of that game and they show me, you'll see me with my hands like this the entire time. I'm over there in the dugout. Coach Thomas is calling pitches, and I'm just praying. And I'm not praying to win. I just, I asked for two things. I said, God, your will's going to be done here. Whatever that is, I want you to know I accept it wholeheartedly. But, just don't let me make a decision that is not the one you want me to make.
Right.
Don't let me take away what these kids have an opportunity to do if that's what's going to happen. And when they come running in off the field, I told Coach Thomas, I said, get Marks and Pie as my first two hitters. I said, get them to meet me in the on deck circle. I went over into the corner of the dugout and I said another prayer. And I said, God, just help me choose my words correctly. Help me let those kids know, no matter what happens, that I love them and I have this supreme confidence in them that what I'm telling them is going to happen. I left that prayer, go up to the on deck circle, and I looked Anthony Marks in the eye. I'm about this far away from his eyes. I mean, we're locked eyeball to eyeball. I said, Anthony, I don't know how you're going to do this, but you're going to get to first base. You're going to get a hit by pitch, walk, error. You're going to get to first base. And I said, when you get there, I said, everybody in the country thinks we're going to bunt. I said, you've been in this program 4 years. I've been talking about stealing the biggest bag ever for 4 years. This is it. First pitch, you're gone. No doubt about it. You're going to make it. You're going to be safe. Pai has a standing there, and I get right there in his eyes, and he goes, he's shaking his, I know, coach, I'm going to bunt. I'm going to bunt. And he wasn't a very good bunter. He's a third round draft pick guy. And I said, I put my arm around. I said, Mikey, I said, I'm not bunting here. Mark, she's getting to second. I said, I want you to pick out Mikey Piazza's pitch. You put a swing on it, and you're going to send us to Omaha. I left and went to third base. Anthony Marks has an eight pitch at bat
Wow.
and finally gets walked. He goes to first. He has a 3.19 steal break. That's like elite, elite.
Yeah.
The very next pitch, they're expecting Paez to bunt. They're up on the grass. He hits a two hopper over the guy's head at third base down the left field line. Mark scores, and we go to Omaha. That ain't even the best one.
That's an amazing
If you
story.
ask those two kids right now, they'll tell you that was a life-changing moment in their life. They said, Coach, there was a look in your eye. I've never seen that look in your eye. Because it was like there was something in there that's like, I just knew exactly what you said was going to happen. We go into championship series. We lose the first game 3-0. So I'm walking in the locker room. I'm the last guy in there after the media stuff or whatever. The whole team's sitting in there, and the coaches have their own locker room in the stadium. And as I walk by the players' locker room, I mean, they're all seated, the staff is there, and everybody's hands down. They're completely dejected. So I thought, well, I'm not going to go in there yet. I walked into the locker room and I just locked the door behind me. And I'll be honest, I've never done this in my life, Jason. I got down on my knees, put my head in the locker, and I just prayed. I said, God, please help me let these kids know how much I love them. and that how much confidence I have in them. And that also here's the plan that's going to win us a national championship. I said, help me find those words. Help me find that wisdom before I walk in that door. Just help me put the words in my mouth that I need, that they need to hear. Well, I went in there and I'm thinking, okay, all right, God, step up right here, baby. I'm ready. I need your help right here. And I stood there for a second, probably 30 seconds, and I just kind of looked around and I'm like, holy moly, man, I'm like lost. What am I going to say? And then all of a sudden, like the clearest thing in the world just started coming out of my mouth. And I told him, I said, man, I said, I love you guys. I said, you played your hearts out. We hit some balls hard. It didn't work. I said, but that's behind us. I said, now here's how we're going to win this thing. And I said, you got to completely believe in what I'm saying because this is what's going to make it happen. I said, Mike Morrison, you've been the number one closer in the country. And I said, you haven't started a game in 2 years. But guess what? Tomorrow, you're toeing the rubber for us, buddy. And I said, you're going to give us 100 of the best pitches you've ever thrown in your life. And I told him, I said, when you get done, Bobby Holmes, you're going to have to finish the game. I said, no one else on the pitching staff is going to pitch tomorrow. I said, you're not going in the game. I said, those two guys are going to win the game for us. And I said, the championship game, Andrew Beckwith, you have thrown two complete games in the College World Series. I said, you're going to toe the rubber for us the next day. And I said, contrary to what you've done so far, which has been Superman, I said, you're going to get to the sixth inning and you're going to run out of gas. And I said, there's going to be bases full of guys. But Bobby Holmes, I don't know what you got left in the tank after tomorrow, but the next day, you're going to have to get one or two outs to get us out of whatever Beckwith leaves us in. And I said, Cunningham, you've never come in and out of the bullpen. You've been a starter for 4 years. I said, you're going to finish the game for us. And you're going to get the save, and you're going to throw the last pitch that wins the national championship. Mike Morrison threw 106 pitches. I asked for 100. He threw 106. Bobby Holmes came in, threw 2 2/3 innings, and we win a game 5-4. We get lucky. We get lightninged out the next night and get an extra day of rest. Beckwith goes 6 2/3 of an inning. The bases are loaded. Take him out, put Bobby Holmes in, strikes a guy out, get off the field, give Cunningham the ball. He goes 3 innings, second and third, two outs, game on the line in the ninth, and he strikes the guy out to win a national championship. Is that not insane?
Coach, I mean,
Huh?
that is the stuff
Yeah.
only God can orchestrate. I mean, I
Yeah,
mean
no
that,
doubt.
right?
No doubt, man. Hey, I'm reading a book. I don't know if you've ever read this book. It's called Chase the Lion.
Sure, Mark Batterson.
Yeah. Incredible book, man. It's all about the dreams and dreaming big. And it's going to be something that I share with our players. One of the things that changed my life, Jason, was reading the book Lead for God's Sake.
Yes, by Todd
Changed my
Gongwar.
life. Yeah.
Amazing
Oh, yeah.
book. Yes, I know
A
Todd well. He's
absolutely
incredible.
amazing book. Yeah.
Incredible
Yeah.
guy.
This to me, you talk about one moment. This may have been the moment that changed the whole culture of our team. Summer of 2015, there was this thing going on in my life, for me. 2010, I mean, I could show you the statistics and the fact that we had six major leaguers on that team and South Carolina beats us in a walk-off to go to Omaha. They won a national championship. We've been so close so many times. And I'm like, God, what is it I'm missing here? What is it I'm missing? What is it? I don't know that I can rep guys harder. I don't know that we can recruit better. I don't know that we can develop better. What is it I'm missing? And I just kept trying to find that piece in me. Todd's book help me find that peace. Help me figure out my why.
Yeah.
I don't know that I had really ever figured that piece out as a man. And it helped me realize that, my why was impacting lives. It wasn't about winning games. It was about making a difference in a guy's life. Obviously make him a better baseball player, but also make him a better man, make him a better husband, a better father, better human being. And that you impact them in a positive way, and that the relationships that you create as a coach and a player and player to player are the most important things that you can do. They're far more important than the wins and losses,
Yeah.
even though we all know the wins and losses, we're all competitive and God made us competitive, and he's not telling us to go out and lose. We're going to still want to win, but can we win it the right way? I started a thing that fall I had never done. I opened my heart completely to that group of people. That first meeting in that fall, when we got through with all the things we had to do, I just told them, I said, I'm going to do something that's going to probably freak most of you dudes out. I said, because I don't know, maybe outside your parents, you probably don't have people do this. I said, but I'm going to do it, and I'm going to stick with it, and it's going to be a trademark of who I am and what I stand for moving forward. And I said, every time you talk to me, every time I pass you on the campus, every time we talk at practice, every time I call you and we talk on the phone, conversation, beginning or ending, is going to be, I love you. And I said, you're going to know I really mean it, because I'm not going to say it loosely. It's going to be, you're going to know that there's serious, heartfelt commitment on my part that I truly love you as a human being. Nothing to do with whether you're my best player or you're my least best player.
Sure.
It's going to be the fact that I care about you and that I love you. And I want you to know that I love you. And I want you to get to a point where each of you love each other enough to tell each other openly in front of the world you love one another. I'm going to tell you what, man. 30 days into this thing was the most incredible transformation. And it exists today where player to player, they openly in front of anyone and everyone tell each other they love them. It freaked the people in Omaha out. I mean, all the sports people and all the guys doing interviews go, Coach, your players tell each other they love each other and they love you guys. We just don't hear that from other people. And I start laughing. I said, it's who we are. I
Yeah.
said, we're willing to die for each other. And I said, we love each other that much. This is way bigger than baseball. And I mean, it's something like, we'll have our first like real meeting, here on Wednesday, and
Yeah.
it'll be something that, I mean, that'll be one of the themes of, hey, I don't know if you've ever had coaches that do this before, but you're gonna, this one's gonna do it, and I want you to feel comfortable me telling you that I love you, and that I really mean it, and I'll do it whether you hit $150 or you hit $450. Doesn't matter. Still love you,
That's good.
and so.
Yeah.
It that book made me realize my why of winning, going to Omaha, winning national championship. That was not my why. It was a vehicle. It was nothing more than a vehicle to allow me to do what my real why in the world is, and it, I didn't appreciate that, Jason, until we're playing in Florida the first game, and my assistant, Coach Schilling, who had been with me at the beginning, he looked at me, he says, I'm getting ready to run the third to coach third, and in the first inning, he elbows me. He said, boy, you got there, you gotta turn around, look, you gotta turn around. I said, nah, man, I ain't doing that. He goes, Coach, you gotta turn around and look. Well, I did, and it was close to 200 of our players, all former players, all lined up right by the dugout, whatever. And I turned around, I looked at him, I said, excuse me for whatever. I said, holy, you know
Holy
what?
bleep. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think I'd
holy
say that
bleep.
too.
I said, holy bleep. I
Yeah.
said, there's at least seven guys there I thought hated my guts. that they would have never ever be here. He goes, I know. Can you believe it? Well, the next day, after we beat Florida that night, the next day the school put on an event for our alumni baseball players and the coaching staff and our players to meet, and we all had lunch together or whatever. I was there for 5 hours. Every single one of those guys, individually, everyone was there, came and spent time with me one-on-one.
Wow.
I shed more tears in those 5 hours than I probably spent my whole life. I'm boohooing most of the time, always happy, but the things that were said to me by some of the ones that I swore hated my guts tore me apart. It was unbelievable. The coach, I want to apologize for the person I was and the player I was and how hard I was to coach. And, I was just really just resentful to do things the way you wanted them done and the things that you were talking about.
Wow.
As soon as I became a husband and a father, I teach my kids by how you taught yours. And the lessons I learned in coastal baseball that I didn't admit to and want to be a part of then is how I live my life now.
So worth
Oh,
it.
that was
So worth it, right?
unbelievable.
Yeah, I can't
Oh,
imagine.
I'm sitting there and I'm going, I told my wife, I cry. We went back to the hotel. I'm crying. I said, God, so many hours of my life I've struggled with so many things, from faith to what my purpose and my why and whatever. I said, man, he just hit me with a brick in the head with this thing. This is so, I said, it's the most impactful part. And for me personally, as much as all that, I mean, you can't describe the feeling of a World Series victory or this and that, but feeling worth in the world to that your life has meant something. Those meetings that day meant as much or more than winning any game I've ever won in my life. It was like, I mean, I felt like, well, my life meant something, and it ain't just about what your career record is. It's about, holy cow, man, I didn't realize that how impactful us collectively and myself are when we do these things with these young men.
Well, it's like nobody really gets to experience what it might sound like at their funeral when they're still alive. And this is kind of what it sounds like that you got to hear these things, because everybody's like, man, don't wait until somebody's that you care and love for is gone before you start talking about how great they are. Tell them while they're still here, and you got to experience that. So, pretty cool.
No doubt. No, it was a surreal moment in my life, to be very honest with you.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for your time, Gary Gilmore. I guess I will touch on one word that you mentioned very quickly at the very beginning of our podcast, and that word was retirement. So are you retiring? Did I hear that right?
Yeah, man, I've done this. This is my 39th year.
So this is the last year,
So
this upcoming season?
this upcoming one, everything I do now is the last time I'll do it here. I don't know what I'm gonna do, to be honest with you. Just, I mean, I've got staff guys that have been very loyal and
Yeah.
deserve an opportunity to be Coach Schnall deserves an opportunity to be a head coach here. And it's I have four young grandsons right now. I just, I say there are things in life I want to do that I haven't done, but what I've been able to pack into 65 years at this point in time is incredible. I always kind of go back to that Billy Graham quote that good coaches touch more lives and impact more people in 1 year than an average person does in a lifetime. I've gotten to do that 39 years.
That's a
I
lot.
mean,
Yeah, that's great.
I look at it like that. I'm going, man, this is a special gig he gave to me. I failed them at times, but I win more for him now than I ever have. And I just think there's something else he wants me to do.
Yeah.
I've done the baseball thing, and I mean I've furthered his kingdom through this in a lot of ways. I just think there's something. I don't have to only do this with college guys. I can do this with, I look at our world now and I'm like, man, God, do I not need to be touching these 9-year-old my grandson's age kids more than I do these kids? I got to
Yes.
save some of these guys before our world has them so screwed up that it's hard to fix them, you know? And so I don't know what I'll do, but I mean, whatever I'll do will be God driven and God directed. And I'm so very blessed at the friends I have and the people in my life that helped me with my faith. Because I mean, all of us, man, it's never a steady road, man. There's always a valley and a peak. You're constantly going up and down in regards to your faith and your opportunities and how you do things. And I'm just blessed that I've got so many wonderful people around me. That phone call, Keith Madison's been an incredible mentor to me as well. And
Yeah, former
Marlon
Kentucky coach.
Bell, all those guys are just, they don't realize how impactful they are to even to a person like me. I'm not nearly the Bible steward that they are. I have the heart for God. They pour their life and soul into the time of memorizing the verses and this and that. And I have done a little bit of that, but I'm more of the, I love reading books like Chase the Lion and Lead for God's Sake, and find my spiritual message and my path through a lot of that, as well as the Bible.
Oh, that's great. Well, listen, somebody always knows more, somebody always knows a little less, and everybody's got their place in God's story to impact them. So you're doing a great job, coach. It was so awesome to talk to you. You have amazing stories. You have a great journey ahead of you, I have no doubt. We'll continue to pray for you, obviously, as you continue your battle in your last year of coaching. This is going to be a lot of fun to watch God work through this next year.
There's no doubt. There's
Thank you for
no.
being here, my friend. I hope we can talk again very soon.
I hope so too. I look forward to seeing you on Monday.
And many thanks to Gary Gilmore from Coastal Carolina from joining us here today on Sports Spectrum. What a story. What a collection of stories. When you think about what he just shared on this show, man, there was so much good stuff about discipleship and impacting lives, baseball as ministry. How about the lessons in failure? How about his cancer battle, man? I'm going to be praying. I hope you will too for Coach Gilmore and his family. And he's going to beat this. There's no doubt. Like he just said, if this was another situation, there's other people who've had this that didn't make it a year. And he's on 3+ years, almost 4 years now in January. And continuing to coach. He's got one more year to coach. I hope it's his best year yet. And those amazing stories from the College World Series just have me shaking my head right now, even as I talk to you all, because I thought it was just awesome. And I was just listening. I was like you guys, just shut up and listen, Romano, and let Gary Gilmore tell his stories. So we appreciate Coach Gilmore. We're praying for him, and we wish him nothing but the best going forward in its final season as Coastal Carolina's head baseball coach. We thank you as well for tuning into this show, and we thank you for all of the support with Sports Spectrum. We look at you guys as ambassadors, right? If you listen to this show and you tell someone about Sports Spectrum, that means the world to us. We're not going to ask you for any money. We're not going to ask you for any donations. If you'd like to subscribe to our Sports Spectrum magazine, that's the only thing that we charge for. That's great, but we're never going to ask you to donate into this ministry. Simply being an ambassador and telling other people that we exist, that there's a sports and faith show out there, that there's a sports and faith media ministry out there that's looking to share the gospel, and we're just using sports as a way to do it, that means the world to us. So anything that you want to do in terms of telling others about today's conversation or about Sports Spectrum, man, that goes such a long way for us. And we just appreciate you. We love you. And we hope you'll tune in next time to another episode of the Sports Spectrum podcast. I hope you all have a great rest of your day.